Good morning. I've been thinking a lot about what we've been going through here late on the Kings, and thought that I would try to preach to myself a little bit, because I think each of us need to do something that would help us to possess our souls and not lose it. I believe that our soul is a communication link with God. And in the course of all the sermons that we heard, we had a lot of kings who stopped communicating with God. And in my estimation, they lost their soul. It doesn't mean they're going to eternal damnation. It means that their communication and humbleness and all ceased to exist. You could look at King Saul, who was possessed with jealousy over David, and at the end of his life, he was killed, asked someone to kill him. That servant wouldn't do that. Lost his three sons, and the servant fell on his sword, and Saul too. And so, to me, that is a warning to us that we need to keep our communication with God open. So I would define the soul as a communication link. You've heard, you know, if you're married to someone, you say, "This is my soulmate." We communicate, you know. We each have our individual minds. We have our individual spirits, and we are one in our communication. And I think that that's what we need to consider. I don't believe that a non-elect has a communication link with God. There is none. He or she does everything, I believe, to get something, to glorify themselves, to be, in essence, their own God. We even look at King Solomon. I mean, all the wisdom and all that he had, and yet, at the end, I believe he lost his soul. Doesn't mean he didn't go to heaven, because I believe he did. But he did some things that really were not good, in disobeying God and multiplying wives, horses, gold, and doing a lot of things, as we read in 1 Kings 11, that he shouldn't have done. But yet his father, David, I believe, possessed his soul and kept that communication link open. So if I were to say, what is it that I see in all these sermons, is make sure you try to possess your soul and keep your communication open. And I can look over my life and see a lot of times I seem to be closer to God, and something that was true about that time is that I was communicating, crying out to God. But then as we get more loss of humility, we say, well, I can do this by myself. And usually doesn't turn out very well. So I believe our new nature has its own spirit, its own mind. All right? And we also have a natural spirit and a carnal mind. So there's two opposites. It's an Ishmael and Isaac in the same body, a son of promise and a son of the flesh. The Cain and Abel, all the stories in the Bible talk about the flesh comes first, and we don't get any, no good thing comes out of the flesh. And there is no communication with God. So finally, I want to say this, that it hurts me to know somewhat, I don't know how to say this, but Jesus Christ lost his communication for 3 hours with God. It's not because he was doing any simple things, but he bore our sin. He bore all of what we deserve in the place we deserve, and that's why I believe that the eternal damnation came to him. But God could not look on him. There was a half hour of silence, which I've shared with you, is 3 hours in Revelation 8:1, and he had to be cut off. So, but he got that communication back when God raised him from the spiritual death that he was in. And I share this often, that that was a death, burial, and resurrection that had to happen in order to have the physical death, burial, and resurrection. You and I are born in Adam, dead to God. We're buried under our sin nature, and without a resurrection of regeneration, there is no communication. There's nothing that, we don't have a soul communication with God. So once we have been born again, then we need to ascend daily, which is possessing your soul every day. And one day we will face physical death, physical burial, unless the Lord comes back and we don't have those two. And we are waiting the second coming of Christ, who will give us a new body. Amen. So we're already living forever. The question is, are we really, while we're here on earth, possessing our soul? In Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" In Luke 9:23-26, says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." There's ways that you can possess your soul right there. But most of us don't want to deny ourselves. Most of us don't take up our cross daily. Bite our tongue, whatever, when we want to strike out at somebody. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Now here, before it said lose a soul, and there here it says lose himself. Our true self, and I remember years ago, Brother Marty preached a sermon that stuck with me. We need to know who we really are. If we, you know what? We have a identity within us that is forever. Amen. And if we live a life where it's just about us and our old nature getting its way and on the throne, then we're going to become a King Saul and a King Solomon. We may not have 1,000 wives and a lot of gold and a lot of horses, but in many ways we are doing some of the same things. So those kings and those stories to me is a lesson in picturing men's souls and what they did in regard to God. We may trip up like David, you know, grievous sins, but I think he did possess his soul. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and his Father and of his holy angels." In Philippians 2, and I'm just going to take out some of the phrases. I could read all day. This is a big topic, huge topic. In Philippians 2, in verse 12, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure." So our communication being intact with God, communicating, asking for forgiveness, treating, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, loving your neighbors yourself, I believe is a form of working out your salvation, and that's one of the ways you possess your soul. We also have, you know, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. It doesn't say love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength. It adds the soul in there, which I believe, again, is that communication. You could even say it's having the proper radio and the proper frequency to talk with God. And we as children of God have that ability. In Mark 12, and I'm going to hurry through some of these verses in the interest of time, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. In some more verses, it says that in 1 Peter, It says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So we have a shepherd. We have a bishop of our soul. And also, we have to remember that Jesus Christ possessed his soul in communicating with his Father throughout his 33 and a half years. And I would say that minus 3 hours. Because God couldn't look on sin. God the Father had to cut him off so that he could pay our eternal damnation and what we deserve and the place we deserve. So, and I say this often, he's the only being ever to experience eternal damnation. Satan hasn't been there. The angels, not even those that are non-elect who die awaiting the judgment. They hadn't been to the lake of fire yet. So our Lord and Savior deserves to be called the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And he certainly possessed his soul in communicating with his Father. In another passage in 1 Peter 1, it says, in verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." So we have a salvation that is involved going on. You know very well, and I know, and I'm preaching to myself, if I get cold-hearted and I don't talk with God, I'm not possessing my soul, and I'm not working out my own salvation. There's something, you work out your time salvation, you can't work out your eternal salvation. That is a gift to God. And so we need to keep that in mind. In verse 22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit." In James 1, it says that receive, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He lost his soul for a time. Now, is it possible to go so far and be an outcast, it's said? And Paul says, I don't want to be an outcast, that you die in that state of being? Yes. And that to me is a reminder that we need to possess our souls and keep close to God. And like in Luke 21, it says, "In your patience possess your souls, ye your souls." In Matthew 11, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Okay. In Jeremiah, it says, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." There's all, and I started looking at this subject throughout the Bible, and there's a lot that is said there. In Isaiah, it says, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness, incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live." In 1 Chronicles, it's 22, it says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." In Joshua 23, it says, "Ye know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you." Joshua 22, "Serve him with all your heart and with all your souls." In Matthew 22, it says, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy mind." So there's a lot involved here of effort that we need to put forth. We're not just existing here on earth and don't have to work. We need to work for our time salvation, because that's the only thing that we can work. It says, Psalms 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." So we need to improve our communication with God and be ready to ask for forgiveness, ask for help. And I believe the Lord is there. Since he's a shepherd and bishop of our souls, he will help us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this subject, that all the kings and all that we've been learning about, that we need to take these as warnings in how we can stay close to you. And we ask that you would help us to possess our souls and not lose them and not want to gain the whole world and lose our communication and our closeness with you. Father, I know it's a small example, but even our little dogs from time to time, they love us in their own way, and they come to us, and if we were to reject them and shun them and hurt them, that would break our time together. And I don't want to give that as an example, but sometimes it seems like we're less intelligent than dogs. We're less intelligent than anything compared to what God is and all, and his provisions and all that he has given us. We need to try to get to know who we really are and also communicate with you better. Be with the ones that have been mentioned as far as their health. Be with the rest of the service. Thank you for all your love and blessings. Please bless this nation and help us, Father, to regain the soul of strength and dependence on you and love for you, and turn from our wicked ways as a nation. Help us, Father, to forsake the idols of Baal and Ashtoreth and Moloch, and may all the things that we have done here of late and for years past, Father, help us to, as a nation, to possess our soul as a nation. Please forgive us our sins. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.